The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Now, as I said at the outset of the programme at 4:30, if you're expecting a gracious and generous Corkman, well, you won't find him here on today's programme. I'm still bitter, more than 24 hours on. We'll have Jamesy O'Connor from Clare, Joe Quaid from Limerick with us in a few moments. But Will O'Callaghan, host of Off the Ball's The Hurling Pod. I used to torment my children as they were growing up when they were playing sport by telling them the referee is always right, even when he's wrong. I'd now like to apologise to my children because I am actually still livid over a number of refereeing decisions yesterday. And the reason being, I know everyone is saying that Clare was a better team and deserved it. But you know what? They were level at the end of 70 minutes. They won by a point. The last puck of the ball, if the free had been given, it would have been a draw. So there wasn't that much difference between the two teams. Refereeing decisions, like it or not, and everyone likes to be generous towards referees, and it's an exceptionally hard job, and we don't have enough people doing it, but a refereeing decision decided the outcome of this All-Ireland.
This feels like a therapy session.
Go on, Bill, please do it.
Okay, so which one are you most aggrieved about? The jersey pull at the end, the 65, or the non-black card or yellow card?
All three of them, Will. All three of them.
Look, I suppose it's incredibly clear that Conor Lean has a pull across on Robbie O'Flynn with his jersey. I mean, the picture is there. It's as clear can be.
And I don't buy this thing that Robbie O'Flynn should have scored as a result of it, even though he was having his jersey pulled.
No.
That he was blamed for missing.
I mean, he's clearly put off balance, first of all, by his jersey being pulled. And to Lean's credit, and I know he has said in an interview earlier today that he would do it again. And he knew exactly what he was doing when he got a handful of shirt. He then also very cleverly got his body around. So he had blocked a lot of the natural shooting position after getting the advantage of putting O'Flynn off originally. So it should have been a free. Patrick Corgan had been tapping them over all day. Would have been his 13th free, tapped over. We would have been going back for a replay in a couple of weeks' time. And I really do feel for Patrick Corgan as well, because I was talking to a few of the Cork Jubilee team on Friday, and they were telling me that at the tail end of last week, they had an event at Porky Cueve where they had a dinner to celebrate the 25 years since 99. And who was on the pitch when they looked out the window in the dusk but Patrick Corgan, who was taking frees a couple of days out from the All-Ireland final. So it just goes to show the commitment that he had to his marksmanship going into the final yesterday. And at times when Clare had, you know, gone very well in from play particularly and had scored the goals, every time the Cork got a free at the other end, you knew that Patrick Corgan was going to tap it over. And he put two frees over just before that. So I would bet my house on the fact that if that had been given maybe 25 yards out from goal, he's putting that between.
Nobody would have complained.
No, I don't think
not even from Clare, I think.
No, and maybe even going back to 2013, where those extra few minutes were played, where Cork finally went ahead after 72 minutes in that game, I think, and then Cork go up and, or Clare go up and get an equaliser at the other end. I don't think anyone complained that day that Clare got another shot at it. Obviously, there's a lot of debate around whether it's right that it goes to extra time as opposed to directly to a replay like it did before. There were a lot of very tired players, and some of the players just came to the format. I know we'll be talking to Jamesy and Joe about it. Like, say, in the 88 minute when Tony Kelly plays that little flick to give himself a little bit of space and pops it over the bar when he was going on fumes.
Which was a magnificent point.
Absolutely amazing. The other refereeing decisions, look, I'm with you. I think generally the game was allowed to flow a lot more than I expected in a general sense. But the big decisions, a few of them go against Cork. The 65 from Harndy's shot, where it was very clear the trajectory had changed and that was a 65, that wasn't given. And Clare got a point almost directly up the other end after the puck out. And the other big decision was the other one involving Robbie O'Flynn, where he's taken down late in the game quite cynically to give away a free. It could have been a black card and it could have been a yellow card. If it was a second yellow, McInerney would have missed all of extra time. So
before we go to Joe and Jamesy as well in relation to this, should there be a circumstance in which a referee is substituted? Because two reasons. One, the extra time and the pace the game has been played at was an incredibly demanding physical effort for the referee. So would it need a fresh referee for the extra time, particularly after he had already taken a knock to his head in his accident and had treatment for that?
I did wonder that when I saw the blood trickling down Johnny Murphy's head, particularly that Liam Gordon, a very experienced referee in recent years, who's done a few finals and who's been in contention to get the All-Ireland final as well, whether he was going to step in at that point. There was quite a lengthy delay when he had to stop. And then obviously there was a couple of decisions that happened after that. Not to say that the head knock was the reason for those two decisions being wrong, but I did wonder if they were going to go for the backup referee at that stage. Ultimately, we'll never know. But, you know, when you've got referees in their 40s, you look at the players struggling for the pace, and many had to come off late in the game. That was one of the most spellbinding and, I would say, physically demanding finals that we've ever seen. Like, to have over 100 shots in the 90 minutes for the teams to have been level on 15 different occasions, we were treated to an absolute classic, and anyone would struggle to keep up with that pace.
Joe Crady, are you laughing at me giving out?
I had to put myself on mute there for a minute, in case I was there's a girl out there, Karma, I think her name is, for all the abuse you were giving me during the year. Look, at least, Matt, you're claiming that a Limerick man won today, so we'll take that.
Yeah, I have no problem with anyone from Clare. would you have had any issues, though, with decision-making by the referees? And is it fair to bring it up when you consider that it did actually decide the outcome at the very end of extra time?
Look, we have the technology, we have Hawkeye. If there's something in the game that we're not 100% sure of, I don't see the problem in going back having a second look at it. To be honest, I didn't see the jersey pull because I was just watching the player and I was sure it was going to be a score. But look, it's very easy when you take a screenshot of a still and you can see a jersey. But when the game is going at the pace it is, it's not easy for the refs. Look, I wouldn't be a huge fan of refs in general. I've had a few run into them over the time. But without them, the game can't take place. No, I think we don't give them assistance. Listen, Matt, we could have been going for the drive for six this year if a decision in 19 where it was clear that the flight of the ball changed direction as well against Kilkenny. So it's. I think every team is a victim of decisions over the years, but I think I can't remember the rugby ref said that when you're making a decision near the end of a game, you have to be 100% sure that it's not going to change the outcome of the game if it's right or if it's wrong. So I think the technology there, the pace of the game that went yesterday was phenomenal. It was just, look, I suppose the All-Irelands we won, not, there was a few of them close, there was a bit of drama and a few of them, but in general, they weren't great spectacles for hurling, whereas yesterday was just a game for the ages. And it would have been lovely to see them and the excitement again and the build-up again if it was a replay there in 2 weeks' time. I think we'd have all been happy. Even you, Matt.
James O'Connor, congratulations to Clare. You must be a very happy man today.
I am, Matt, and I'm even going to be more generous and considerate in the circumstances. Yeah, listen, as Joe said, I mean, it was a game for the ages. You know, when you're skinning the game, as you and I had, you know, you're wondering, you're living every second of it, you're pucking every ball. But I was with the BBC yesterday, and we had Darrow Breen and James Nesbitt and Sean McSweeney and so on in the you know, in front of the box, and they were all enthralled by it. And the guys in the studio, you know, Paul Murphy and Seamus Flanagan and Neil McManus again were just, you know, extolling the you know what had unfolded in front of them. And it was just a game that you obviously could have gone either way. I thought we were the better team, certainly in the second half. And I mean, Aaron Shanahan gave away probably a needless free on Owen Downey, you know, when he was heading to the corner, you know, and allowed, yes, Parkes was a free puck up the field. And then Shanahan, doing his best to get back, just had the little tug on Timmy O'Connell's jersey, whatever. And that gives Horgan the free. And like, he showed massive character, Matt, to step up and nail that, because that wasn't straightforward by any means. So extra time, like, it's something we have to look at, because the way the game is being played now, you know, you players from both sides out on their feet, and big players didn't feature in extra time. Conor Cleary, Peter Duggan, Shane O'Donnell, Mark Rogers were all off the field for Clare. Obviously, Rob Downey went off, and, you know, he was a huge loss, I think, to Cork, given how well he played. And the players from both sides ran themselves to a standstill. I'm just gutted for the Cork players and gutted for Robbie O'Flynn in particular, because you know, he did everything right. He took the responsibility on, and he's inches away from taking us to a replay in 13 days' time. So thrilled for Brian Lowen and the Clare players, because they've paid their dues, Matt. They've suffered a lot of pain and disappointment over the last 3 or 4 years. 3 Munster finals to Limerick, the 2 All-Ireland semi-finals to Kilkenny, and particularly for the senior players, for Shane O'Donnell, Tony Kelly, Dave McInerney, you know, Peter Duggan, John Connan at 36 was phenomenal.
Well, I was just about to say to you, I thought, Jamesy, 3 names I was going to mention to you who were outstanding, and it showed the value of experience as well, were Tony Kelly, Shane O'Donnell and John Connan. I thought John Connan physically was absolutely brilliant, because he definitely looked after Shane Barrett in a way that Cork would not have expected.
Yeah, and just, you know, when the Clare backroom team was just saying the work that John had put in terms of, you know, studying Barrett and what his tendencies were and so on. And he was obviously up for it because maybe people maybe were questioning whether he had the legs to stay with Shane for 70 minutes. But he certainly won that battle and came out on top. And I think the other key battle that Clare won was, we really, Colm Malone did a great job in negating the influence of Darragh Fitzgibbon. You know, again, Cork moved Fitzgibbon to centre forward and he never stopped trying and got a couple of great scores on Conlon. But the Clare half-back line, and Conlon, Devon McInerney, you know, were outstanding. And as you said, at the other end, when Clare really needed it in the first half. I mean, there were seven down and Hoggy missed a free that he'd probably have expected to convert.
Yes.
And O'Donnell just goes to work, got a couple of massive points and obviously sandwiched between those, you know, did brilliantly to stop Aidan McCarthy for the goal. And O'Donnell tweaked his hamstring on the Tuesday night, so he was an injury concern going into the game. And obviously Kelly just sprinkled stardust on proceedings when Clare needed it most. And I mean, you know, we might talk about the goal in a minute, Matt, but the quality of the points, I mean, and they came at crucial times in the game. And, you know, we're running out of superlatives for this guy, but when the stage was biggest and when the need was greatest for his team, and when O'Donnell, maybe in some other big names, weren't on the field or were struggling, Kelly came to the fore. And I mean, the goal was just rider over stuff. And we had three goals yesterday, Matt. I mean, Rob Downey's was as good a goal as I thought I'd ever seen scored in Croke Park. Mark Rogers and almost equal it, and Kelly arguably surpassed with a sublime bit of skill. So we were really treated to all the best of what hurling has to offer yesterday.
We were indeed, absolutely. It was absolutely extraordinary game. And as you're right, I mean, the pace that it was played at, the physical demands on the players and what they managed to achieve was absolutely sensational. And as I said, I mean, some of the more experienced Clare players were the sort of the standout figures in the game, which probably gave them will to deserve victory.
I'd agree. I mean, we're talking to Seamus Flanagan, current Limerick hurler, who was on the BBC with Jamesy yesterday on Friday night, and he was saying to us that the one area of concern he had for Clare was that Barrett had been such an influence for Cork in the game against Limerick, and that he would look to drag Conlon out of position like he'd done with Declan Hannan the week before. And he was wondering if the other two wingbacks might get a lot of trouble from Harnedy, who had been really good, and Declan Dalton. Well, I think Clare generally overall won that battle, and the key was Colm Malone. He probably won't get the credit because it's likely to go maybe to Conor Lean or to Tony Kelly, who gets five scores that puts Clare ahead every time he scores. But I thought he did a wonderful job of the less glamorous stuff, Matt, where he was there to turn over ball, make it difficult for Darragh Fitzgibbon to make those trademark runs from midfield. So it was a lot of grit and determination, which again is what we saw from Clare in the second half against Kilkenny, that came to the fore. And then if you've got those players who can do something special at the other end, like Shane O'Donnell said, he didn't know he was going to play until the warm-up. That's how bad his hamstring pull was during the week. And they kept it entirely quiet. None of us found out until O'Donnell announced it yesterday evening that he'd been that badly injured. But he took the game by the scruff of the neck when it was 1-8 to 4 points. Cork had scored from all of their first nine attacks.
That's right.
We were wondering if that was going to be an omen of Cork just running away with it. But Clare just kind of dug in. And then when they got back in from that point, the game totally went back in their favour after that.
Okay. Joe Quaid, I go back to you. I mean, the standard of hurling now at this stage, which in fairness, Limerick are the ones who have dragged it along in recent years up to the levels, it has gone to an exceptional game, hasn't it, given the pace and the skill now involved and the willingness to take on shots. Because friends of mine, we were talking when we were watching the Cork team out celebrating 25 years ago when they beat Kilkenny. What was it, on a 13-12 scoreline at the day?
Yeah, look, as Will said, there are over 100 shots in a game, and you have the old traditionalists saying, oh, there's no breaking hullies, there's no this, there's no rough and tumble. But the pace of the game, the athleticism of the players, I think Jamesy, I think, would have fitted in perfectly in that scenario if he was playing now. But there's a lot of lads that we would have played with Jamesy back in the day that would have struggled at that kind of pace. Our game was probably a lot of rooting, dragging, pulling and tearing, whereas the speed and pace, the size of the players, the athleticism. But, like, I'd have to agree, I saw two of the best goals I've ever seen in Cork Park yesterday. It was just phenomenal effort by both teams. Tony Kelly's one is like something you'd see a young fella that's probably 6'4" playing under 14 walking through players with little flicks in that. He was just, and I was delighted for him because I think going back a couple of years ago when he got the sideline to level the Munster final, I was actually saying I hope he gets it, and someone from Cork beside me said, "Oi, it's going to be a draw." I said, to see somebody have the balls to stand up and a wet day and put a sideline ball over from where he did. I said, it's something I'm proud to be alive to see. No, we were glad, obviously, we won it. But yesterday, that man has been much maligned for Club All Ireland's and big days in Cork Park, people saying that he didn't perform. By God, he answered to his critics yesterday. It was just a superb effort from him. And when they needed him most, I think that nearly as good as the goal was the point where he was off balance, he was facing his own goals, he swiveled over his shoulder, split the posts. It was just a joy to behold. And look, go back to 2017, Matt, we would have been glad to get one on Ireland. We were lucky enough to see what we got. But for the game of hurling, I think that match is what was needed yesterday. It's just a pity that we don't get to see a repeat of it in 2 weeks' time.
Jamesy, I know you've already paid tribute to Brian Lowen, but in fairness as well, I mean, hasn't always been easy for him over the last 5 years, was it? The first few years were quite tough in taking on the job and building the team up. He's shown a large degree of personal resilience.
Oh, he has huge, and you know, it's built on solid foundations, Matt, and even as well as the infrastructure around it, you know, Club Clare is there now maybe to help from a finance perspective. We've obviously had big change at county board level, but there's a real sense that he's united the clans, and he's, you know, everybody in the county obviously has huge respect for him and what he's done. And the players reflect maybe the manager in terms of they're a genuinely honest, sound, hardworking bunch of guys. They're good guys, the way they carry themselves, the way they conduct themselves. And that even we haven't maybe had success or silverware to show, but every day they've gone out over the, you know, under Brian's stewardship, they've given 110% for the jersey, and you can't ask for any more than that. And I was just delighted for Brian, obviously, and for the players that, you know, given the setbacks and the disappointments that they've suffered and endured, that, you know, Will had to count for something. And you can be sure when Lohan was asking them to dig deep again, you knew that they had the work done, and you knew that they were going to give, you know, everything they had. And the thing is, Matt, you have to give credit to Cork too. And one point I want to make before we finish up on this, Brian Lowen at the banquet last night spoke about Pat Ryan. Pat Ryan came into the Clare dressing room after the game, which wasn't an easy thing to do. And Lowen couldn't say enough about the words that Pat Ryan spoke to the Clare players. And he said you could have heard a pin drop. And there was just tremendous respect between, obviously, both sets of players and between the respective managements. You know, it could have gone either way. It could have been Clare in Cork's shoes. But Lowen wanted the Clare public to know that. And he spoke with huge respect and regard for Pat Ryan last night, and I think that's a credit to the Cork manager. And as I said, we probably got the rub of the green, and maybe we paid our dues and maybe deserved it. But you know, Lohan has just been tremendous for Clare, and as I said, he you know, it was great to see him with Ger Loughnane at the end of the game, because they'd have been very, very tight, and to see Loughnane there embracing Lohan was just a fantastic image, and one of the things I'll take away with me, one of the memories from the day.
Well, congratulations to everybody in Clare on winning the All-Ireland, and to the fantastic players involved and to the fans, well done. Thank you very much, Jamesy O'Connor, and also Joe Quaid.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.